happy for his goodness. You know, I think far too often we forget about the goodness of God. And I think we remember the things in our life and the things that pop up, and that's what we focus on. That's what we remember a lot, instead of remembering his goodness. I think it's something that far too often we miss out on. And I think it's something that just as we step through life, as we are not just in here, but as we leave the church and go about our day and about our week and all that stuff, we need to remember his goodness. Don't we? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your character, which is good. We thank you for your love and your life that you give us. God, we thank you that we can stand on your promises, Father, and that we can live confidently in your goodness, and that we can walk through life and journey through life knowing how good you really are, and we don't have to doubt. We can just walk forward with full confidence. So God, I pray that today as we just remember the gifts that you've given us, as we remember the things that you do for us, God, I pray that we would stand with that confidence, that boldness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. Can you hear me okay? I feel like I'm really quiet. So, as you guys all know, we have been in this series called Reaching Out. And it's our summer series, and with Labor Day, I guess it's the unofficial end of summer. It's where we start thinking about the fall season, the terrible F word that nobody likes to say. And it's here. I saw leaves change color on my neighbors. And I'm like, oh boy, I'm not ready for this. I am not ready for this. And even worse than that, I'm not ready for the white stuff that's going to fall soon. But we know it's inevitable. So as we wrap up our summer series, I thought, you know what? I wanted to wrap this whole thing up with this idea of who we are and how our gifts apply. So we're talking about the church. And through this series, we started talking about, in the first message of the series, about giving, increasing, succeeding, and prospering, and about how the church, according to the New Testament, the role of the church is to equip the saints for the work of your ministry. And every one of us is a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, aren't we? And the ministry must go forth outside of these walls. The ministry that each of us have, must go forth outside of the church. The small C church. Because when we leave, Rosetown Community Church isn't the church. We are the church. The individuals are the church. We are the big C church. When we are gathered together, when we are alone, wherever we are the church. And we can take the church into every atmosphere that we go into. The ministry needs to go forth into all these areas of the world. We need people who are new covenant believers engaged in things like business, engaged in things like the medical professional, engaged in politics, especially right now as September 20th looms closer and closer and we have this election. We need godly, new covenant, New Testament believers to be engaged in politics, in education, in the arts, in music, in movies, in sports. All of these areas that influence the world around us, they must have gifted Christian leaders, new covenant believers engaged in them. And we need to do what Jesus said as the church, the big C church. We need to occupy until Jesus comes back. Because we know he's coming back, right? We know he's coming back. And it doesn't matter if you're where your stance is on the tribulation, if you're a pre-trib, a post-trib, a mid-trib, a pan-trib. Do you know what a pan-trib is? It's going to pan out just as Jesus expected it to. And God planned it. Doesn't really matter. And there's other beliefs there with respect to the tribulation as well, which we're not going to jump into today. But we need to occupy. That's the important part. We need to be taking up ground for Jesus. We need to be advancing the kingdom for him. We need to be telling people about the good news that we have within us. Each and every day, each and every place we go, we are bringing the kingdom of God with us. We are the church, right? We need to take ground for the kingdom and walk in all of the blessings and promises that are already ours. We're reaching out. We're not just in here locked up in our little box, but we are reaching out. And I wanted this, and I pray that this has been a season of growth as you've thought about and pondered and prayed about the gifts we've talked about, and we're taking time to talk about all these various gifts, and I pray that you took the time and you've maybe reflected on some of the gifts that you feel might be what you have. And we've got a lot of scripture this morning because I think this is the best place to go about talking about our gifts and the church. So we'll start with 1 Corinthians 12, 1-11. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to those dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts and the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given each one of for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another different kinds of tongues. To another interpretation of tongues. But one of the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one according as he wills." And then we're going to read 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3. And for me, this one and the last verse we're going to read, or the last verses we're going to read, are probably, I think, some great reminders for us as the church. Okay? And even that last verse was a great reminder for us, the church, that we can all have these gifts, but be of the same Spirit and of the same mindset and the same attitude. And 1 Corinthians 13 says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I have nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. See, this verse is used in a lot of weddings. I almost said funerals, but it's in weddings. Right? We use this in weddings. But the thing we often neglect is putting this in our context of the church. This was what it was shared to, was the church. This is in one of the letters. This was shared to be done in the church, to love each other. That all our gifts are worthless if we don't have love for each other. We can prophesy, great, awesome, good for you. But if you don't love each other, if you don't treat each other with love, what good is it? Great, you're a teacher, but if you can't communicate in love, what's the purpose? What's the sense? See, we're to love each other. We're supposed to love each other as we love ourselves. We're supposed to love each other as Christ loved us. That's what our call is. If somebody comes through the door that we don't know, we are supposed to love them the same. We're to love the world just as Jesus loved the world. God loved the world so much he sent his one and only son to the world. That's the same love we're supposed to share with the world and with each other. Anybody ever have a bad day? Only a couple of us. But when you've had a bad day, I'll tell you what. This might surprise you, but I've had a few bad days. Okay? And when I have a bad day, I'm not always the most pleasant person to be around. I know you guys will find that hard to believe. And I can be a bit of a bear. But the thing is, we can't allow our bad days to dictate who we are. We can't allow our differences to dictate who we are. See, the thing is, with respect to differences and differences of opinion and differences of stances, is differences do not need to mean disunity and disloyalty. They shouldn't mean disloyalty and disunity. We're allowed to have differences of opinions, are we not? And the fact is, that should actually make us stronger. It's a weird thing to say. But when we approach it appropriately and scripturally, it will make us stronger. Because when we approach it with love, we can hear each other better. Right? Don't you think? If I don't approach Stacy with love, and she wants to tell me something, how do we ever communicate this through? You can't. And in the end, we can have a difference of opinion, but we still have love. And love will still pull us together. And love will still join the group. And in the body of Christ, we must have love. Love is a requirement. All those other gifts, it says, will fade away, but love remains. I find it interesting that we use that verse in weddings, because the reality is it doesn't have anything to do with marriage. It has everything to do with the church. So what is our stance within the church? Is it love? Or is it, do I have a bigger voice than somebody else? Each of us has a role within the church, don't we? And not one role is more important than the other. But my role is more important because that's why I have a stage. Just kidding. All of our roles are just as important. Each one of us has a spot to fill. Each one of us has a role to step into. Each one of us has an opportunity to share the love of Christ and use our gifts to share that love. Don't we? I want to encourage you, never ever, and I said this before throughout the series, don't ever put your giftings down. Always walk with confidence and boldness in your gift. And I think I've shared this lots, but whether it's scrubbing a toilet, leading someone to Jesus, speaking, teaching, whatever it is, All of those gifts are of value. We all have value. And not one of us should ever talk down to someone else. Not one of us with our gifts should ever be like, well, you're just, you know, you're just the cook. You're just the cleaner. You're just this. You're just that. No, there is no just in the body of Christ. Okay? Do we hear that? There is no just. You're just this. You are a servant of God. You are a lover of Jesus. You are utilizing the gifts that he has given you. And you can stand firm in those gifts. And you can stand with full confidence. See, I've been in far too many churches where people start elevating themselves. And I should have had a chair here or a stool, but I probably would have fallen off the stool. And say, look at how high I've elevated myself. Right? Look at me. Look at what I'm doing. That's not the role of the church. The role of the church is, let me come alongside you and support you and work with you and walk with you. Not, well, I'm up here and you're down there. I'm the king of the castle and you're a bunch of rascals. Right? That's not the role of the church. That's not our role as the body of Christ. Our role as the body of Christ is to love and encourage and build up and come alongside. That's our role. Not cocky, whatever that word is. Not, don't be cocky about it, but come alongside with love and confidence. There's a difference between confidence and cocky, okay? That's something a lot of us don't understand. People hear people being confident and they assume cocky. But there is a quiet confidence that when we share the love of Christ and when we share and walk in our gifts, that we just bring something with us. I remember playing football, and my coaches in high school were never a bunch of rowdy coaches, right? Like, they were older guys. Well, at the time, they were older. They were 45, 40. Now they're young. But, you know, like, they were in this group, and what we got this pep talk every game was to go forward from this dressing room, go forward from this locker room with a quiet confidence. And what that meant to me was, don't go out and hoop it up and get in people's faces and be a jerk, but go in and be confident in the gifts and the abilities that you have and do it with full confidence and step into it. Don't back away. Step in and step forward. Don't be like, yeah, you're just this. But no, how can I help? Let's get this done together. You don't have enough strength. I got some strength, right? Maybe this is just me. This is how I would view, how I viewed it. And we worked together as a team. Nobody on that team was more of a star than the other. We were all just a team. And that's how we advanced our team. That team won a lot of championships, and we did a lot of amazing things. And yeah, we had some star power on our teams, but we did it together. Because without the whole team, you can't win. Without some offensive linemen that really worked hard and just put their nose down to the grindstone, our quarterback would get hit and do nothing, right? Are you with me on football analogies? I hope so. Without a Zach Cassian, McDavid's not much, because if he's getting rocked around and his leg broken and his collarbone smashed up, they need some tough guys around him, right? Somebody to support. They might not put in 50 goals for him, but they're there if somebody takes a shot at him. They'll take the shot back, won't they? See, we need those people. We need what they call in hockey role players, right? We're not all need to be stars. We need to be role players together. And some of us will step up in certain sides of things, like, you know what? McDavid's not a scrapper, but he's a goal scorer. But we need scrappers. And this guy's, like, Semenko, when he played with Gretzky, was a star scrapper, right? Like, no, man, that guy had hands, like, and a head that could take a punch, right? He was tough. George Laroque. I remember watching George Laroque people loved him. He was a star in Edmonton because he would fight anybody and everybody at any time. Because even though he'd be considered a role player, he was still a star in his role, right? Are you hearing me? Am I making sense? Am I just making sense in my own head? But we need to remember, we all have a role to play. And as we walk through our gifts, as we step through, the things that we really need to lean into as the church is to remember that each of our gifts are miraculous gifts that are directed by God. And we need to be bold and step out in our gifts as God leads us and gives us opportunity. And as we work together within the body of Christ, we need to step into them. And a few things to stay away from. Don't use your gifts in a self-serving manner. Don't do it so you can get a pat on the back, get an attaboy, attagirl, whatever it is. Use your gifts to glorify Jesus. That's what it's about. To show love and encourage others. Not to make myself feel better, but make someone else feel better. Help someone. Care for someone. I think I've shared this line before, but I love it so much, I'm going to share it again. If you're a movie watcher, you might know this line. But the great Paul Blart, Mall Cop, he told people to help someone today. That was what all those security guards, they would say at their convention, help someone today. Do you remember that? As the church, we have an opportunity every day to help someone today. Okay? Help someone today. Don't neglect honoring the place that you have been placed or put. Take the opportunity to help someone. And that's sharing a word, sharing love, walking with someone, helping, I don't know what. Helping in our children's ministry. If you're a gifted musician and you haven't let it known, I think I might, when Nicole comes back, she's going to have a hard time getting that mic from my hand because I'll be singing back up. No, you won't. You'll have the mic. But maybe it's helping with our single mom's night out. Right? It's an opportunity to serve. This one's empty. Our Sunday school program. If we don't have a Sunday school, even though our Sunday schools are very short of 30 minutes, it's an opportunity for us as be teachers, to be leaders, to love our kids and our youth. Or the Harvest Festival. That's a fun day. We can watch the Bouncy Castle and slushy and coffee and all that stuff. Opportunities to sign up and help someone today. Our cafe. Kat's going to teach some people to make coffees. So then Kat can visit with somebody outside and somebody else can help make coffees for a Sunday. Our ushers and greeters. Do you know what? I don't say this to pat my kids on the back, but I've got two kids on as ushers and greeters that want to welcome people to church. Cohen's not very excited about it, but his sister signed him up. But it's an opportunity to meet people. It's an opportunity to share the love of Christ as soon as somebody comes in. You are the face of Rosetown Community Church. Not me, you. And you, when people come in, they should see you. We have community events. We have movie nights. We have all these different things we want to do as a church to show love in our community, to help someone today. Parents and Tots Play Cafe. If anybody came to this, this is a fun time. It's a good time. Making coffees, visiting with parents and grandparents, hanging out with some kids and giving cookies. I encourage you. And then this other fun one is Sound and Tech. We've got better tech here than most churches in the cities have. And we should take advantage of that. And I encourage you to get involved. And there's other areas where you can sign up. Like I said, flip a page over and write down an area that you think you can help with or want to take a lead in. I'd love to see more ministries going. I'd love to see more stuff going. But we need to take it as the opportunity to help someone today. So I've got one verse left in my closing. Well, one verse. It's like, I don't know, like 15 verses. But who's counting? And it's 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 31. And it says this: "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you.' Nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think are less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God comprised the body, having given greater honor to that which lacks it. That there should be no schism in the body, but that of the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, and all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church: first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrators, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way." It's funny. While trying to read that, my contact, my eye, was flickering, and it makes it impossible to read, doesn't it? Like, I don't know if you've ever had an eye get blurry and give you problems, get something in it. One eye. And you have a hard time focusing on anything until you shut that eye and you take that eye away and you can kind of see better. See, we require each part of our body to function properly, don't we? And as the church, we require each part of our body, you guys, to function properly, to be effective, to love the way we should love, to care for the way we should care for. We all have a role, we all have a place, and not one is greater than the other. So, as I'm closing and as I'm wrapping up this morning, I want you to take time today while we're singing these next three songs and be encouraged. And I'm not going to come down and say, "Well, Lyle, I only see your name in one spot. I'd like to see it in about two or three. So step up, please." That's not what I'm about. But what I'm about is I want to encourage you to take the opportunity to help someone, to love someone, to care for someone, to be a part of the body, to become a functioning part of this body so that we as the body of Christ can advance the kingdom and occupy until Jesus comes back. That's what I want us to do. I don't want us to sit on our butts anymore and just wait. I want us to advance the kingdom of God. I want us to occupy space. I want us to be prepared for Jesus coming back. I want people in our community and in this world to know the love of Jesus through us, through our love for them and through our love for each other. That's what I want. I pray that's what you want. So these are going to be placed over there. And I know some of our folks that have been watching online through the summer that have been away, I've got messages from them, and I apologize to a few of them right now for not sending screenshots of the titles, but I just went through them, Audrey. So now you can't message me and say, Dave, I need to know those again. Just rewind and listen to the whole message again. But guys, I want to encourage you to take some time and just pray. And hey, if you're like, kids aren't my thing, say I want to teach the senior high or the junior high kids Sunday school. That's fine. Kids aren't my thing. I have five of them, sure. That's fine. They still scare me. I could never be a teacher, elementary teacher. Junior high, smack them a couple times and they're back in line, right? No? Oh, okay, no. My wife just told me no. So, but let's take some time as we just pray and just worship and just honor God with our voices, that we just, if you feel led to sign up on something, I encourage you to sign up for something. We need you guys. We need you to operate in your gifts. We need you to get engaged. This church, we're not going to advance the kingdom on Pastor Dave's shoulders. We're going to advance it on your shoulders. We're going to advance it together. I pray that through this whole series, when we've talked about gifts, I pray that you've been encouraged. I pray that you've been enlightened, and I pray that you've been blessed. Through this whole thing, it's really allowed me an opportunity to just reflect on my giftings even. And it's been interesting. And I'm sure there'll be a series on that sometime in the future. But I pray that you've been encouraged and blessed by it. I'm going to invite you guys to stand as we close in prayer. Father God, we love you. God, we honor you. God, right now I praise you and thank you for each person here in person, at Sunday church in person. And we thank you for each person that is watching online today. Father, I pray that you would just bless them. Father, pour your love upon them. Father, pour your blessings upon them. Pour your passion and your joy upon them, Father. God, I pray that each of us would be just a product of your joy. God, I pray that as we leave these walls today and as we go out into the community, Father, that we would be people that would advance the kingdom, that we would advance your kingdom, and that we would be a people who are passionate about others and that we would be passionate about you. Father God, I pray that as we walk out of here and we experience our community, that we would have them experience more of the church than we would experience the community. That we would be passionate about you and be passionate about them. That we would share in our giftings with them. And that we would walk with boldness and confidence. God, I pray that as people are still just analyzing and assessing their gifts, Father, that you would bring clarity to it and that we would know. So, God, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless.